All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf in Gittin is Lamed. Thank Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lona Zech and Nishmas Liba Gavriela Bar Shmuel. Yesterday's daf Chav Tes had side A and side B, as does every daf. But yesterday's side A and side B were contrasting two different halachas. Actually, really the same halacha, but two different scenarios. One is on the side A. He talked about the shliach assigning another shliach. Shliach was a shliach, which essentially can happen. We learned yesterday on the Amud Aleph that that is in terms of where we know for sure that you could do that is when there's a physical tangible item that one shliach is passing on to the other shliach. So a get is a physical tangible item. It's a document. So in the scenario of a get, there is certainly no problem for one shliach to just simply pass along the baton, hand the get to the next shliach, and that would be fine. So in the first Mishnah on Chav Tes Amud Aleph yesterday, we said that that's great. A shliach can make another shliach. And when you're delivering a get in Eretz Yisrael, it becomes even easier because there, the shliach does not have to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechtam. So literally, the shliach is just simply handing the get over to the wife. So that action of handing over the get to the wife, so that can be passed on to the next shliach and to the next shliach, and you can continue doing so. The problem is when you're delivering a get from outside Eretz Yisrael, and that was the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf. When you're delivering a get from outside Eretz Yisrael, so there, the shliach, when he delivers the get, he needs to say, the get was written and signed in front of me. Here comes the problem. When you hand it over to the second shliach, the second shliach can't legitimately say it. I mean, he could say it, but it's not true. He can't say, it wasn't written in front of him, it wasn't signed in front of him. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says, but we do have a solution. And that is that you will do the transfer of shlichus in Beis Din. So the Mishnah yesterday, if you just take a look back at the Mishnah, so we learned, I may even get me Medina Sayyam, I'm just rereading the Mishnah as Chazara. We're not going to go back that far, but the Mishnah says, I may even get me Medina Sayyam, when you're delivering a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael, v'chala, and you get sick, meaning, so now you just simply can't go any further, what do? Oh, so shlich for Beis Din. So you make another shlich, but you have to do one in Beis Din. And then you say, and now what the second shliach is going to do, well, he's certainly not going to say because he can't, but what he now can do is he can just simply say, I'm a Beis Din appointed shliach. So even though this get comes from outside of Eretz Yisrael, and even though I'm not saying but ki'ilu, it's as if you're saying it because you're saying that you're a court-instructed, court-appointed shliach, and therefore you have the right to now pass along the get over to the wife. That is what we learned in yesterday's daf.
The original shliach has to be at the Beit Din at the same time?
The original shliach, when appointing the second shliach, presumably has to be there. Okay, presumably. So so that's what we learned yesterday, that when you are passing the shlichus along, and the only thing you need to do is just deliver the get, so then you can just keep going. And one shliach doesn't have to appoint another shliach, and it doesn't have to do it in front of Beis Din. Masha Ein Kein, when delivering from outside of Eretz Yisrael, then you have to do it in front of Beis Din, so that the first shliach can pronounce the formula of B'fana Nechta, B'fana Nechtam, and the second shliach now can just simply say, I'm court ordered. I'm court appointed. What we learned over the course of yesterday's daf is that every subsequent shliach needs to be appointed in the court. Right? The Gemara had a series of ibayis, but basically the Gemara's conclusion is that the second, third, fourth, whatever number shliach we're up to, if you're delivering a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael, every one of them has to be appointed in court.
The court is where? Doesn't matter
wherever.
In Chutzlaretz.
Doesn't seem to matter. Okay, Amar Rabba. We are in the middle of Chav Tes Amud Aleph. We are halfway down in the Amud. It's the last two words of the line. Amar Rabba. Shlich b'Eretz Yisrael. Oseh kama shluchim. A shlich in Eretz Yisrael can make how many shlichim? Meaning, we're basically, the Gemara is kind of going back to the Amud Aleph. We're now discussing in Eretz Yisrael where there's no need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. So how many shlichim can be made? So the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Ashi in Meis Rishon, but Lu Kulan." So Rav Ashi says, "Well, let's take a look at the lashon of the Brisa. If the first one dies, So then they all fall. It's basically dominoes, meaning that the first shliach was appointed. He now sends to the second shliach, and he delivers to the third shliach. But when the first shliach dies, so but lekulan they all go. So ama marber avashi hadaba tekanusehi. So now the marber avashi says regarding that statement that when that statement was made by Ravashi, he said it when he was young. It was not a well thought out it was a statement that was made when my father made that statement, but it's not correct because ilum is bal midi mashash is bahu koch mi koch man ka aso mi koch de bal ka aso is la bal is la kula less la bal less la kula. So it, as it relates to the husband, so when the husband dies and the get has not yet arrived, so that's it. In other words, the get can't be delivered because it's all coming mikawach habaal. It's in other words, it's not coming from the kawach of the shlich, but rather it's coming from the kawach of the baal. How gavad deshad legita ledevasayu? A man was delivering a get over to his wife. I'm a shlich lo yadanala. So now he hands it over to the shlich. He says, "I want you to give it to my wife." And he says, "Look, I have a small problem. That is, I don't know who your wife is." Meaning, I just don't recognize her. So, Amalei Zil Yavila Abba Bar Minyume Diu Yadala Valeza Valezve Nihala. So he says, "Okay, so fine, let's change plans. I'll give you the get. You'll deliver the get, but not to my wife because you don't know who she is. You'll deliver to a man." He specifies which man it is, Abba Bar Minyuma, and you'll deliver to him, and then he'll know who my wife is, and he'll deliver it. Okay. But then the story goes on and the story gets a little more complicated, and that is that now this shliach is commissioned to deliver the get, not to his wife, but to Abba ben Yuma. He just simply can't find him. So a whole series of Amorim were sitting together. So they say to him, "Okay, this is not a problem. Meaning, here's what you're going to do. You'll deliver the get to us. You will pass the instructions along to us. And then we, in turn, will wait for Abba ben Yuma. We, in turn, will then give it to him, and he'll deliver the get." So that's what these three Amorayim said is should be the solution to the problem. So Amalu Rav Safra. Now Rav Safra was sitting there, and Rav Safra says, "Wait 1 second, you can't do that." Vashliach Shlonita Negerishin Hu. So Rav Safra said, "Wait 1 second, he can't pass this along to you guys for the following reason, because he's not a shliach for Gerishin." What does that mean that he was not a shliach for Gerishin? You take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes. Rashi, Hashlich Shlonita Legerishin Hu, Hashlich Hazel Lo Nasa Shlich Legarsha. His objective as a shlich was not to divorce her. Ella Lemoso La Abba Ben Yumi. He had one objective job, and that is to give the get over to Abba Ben Yumi. Hilkach La B'Makom Balkai. He is not a stand-in of the husband, meaning he's not a classic shliach. The classic shliach is one where basically you are an agent of the husband to give the divorce. That's not his job. His job was to deliver to Abba Bar Minyumi. So therefore, he only can do one thing and one thing only, and that is hand it over to Abba Bar Minyumi. We keep talking in the last day and a half about shliach osa shliach, but that's because everyone's job was to deliver the get. So therefore, I can just pass that job along. That's not his job. His job was to give it to Abba Bar Minyumi. Ich sufu. So when the Chachamim heard the rejection of Rav Safra, so they were embarrassed. Meaning they felt like, "Oh, we should have known that." No, he's right. Rav Safra's right. So Amar Rava kapchinu Rav Safra letalsi Rabbanan smuche. So on this, Rava commented and Rava said, "Look at that, Rav Safra cut down the legs of these three Rabbanan." Meaning they all thought that it was a good idea. Rav Safra told them, "No, it's not a good idea," and he was right. And Rav Safra was right. So Amar Rav Ashi b'may kapchinu. So Rav Ashi says, "No, I don't think Rav Safra was right. Why? Because mikamar le Abba b'min yumi v'lo at. Because look, let's think about the original appointment of the first shliach. The first shliach, when he was sent to deliver the get, so what was the first instruction that was given to him? I want you to deliver the get.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then he said, oh, you know what? I have a problem. I don't know him. Oh, okay, fine. So then give it to Abba Bar Minyum and he'll deliver the get. But his original shlichus was not just to deliver to Abba Bar Minyum. His original shlichus was to deliver the get. There just was a snag in the problem, there was a snag in the plan because he didn't recognize the wife. So he says, okay, so here's what you'll do. But originally, he was actually destined and commissioned to deliver the get. So Rav Ashi says, I don't think this was a problem. I think he could have given it over to this Beis Din, and the Beis Din in turn would have given it over to Abba Bar Minyum. By the way, Alex, this answers your question that you asked me earlier. Meaning, does the do both shlichim have to be there present at Beis Din? From this Gemara, it would seem no. That as long as you're handing it over to Beis Din in turn can hand it to the next shliach. Now, the other version is that basically Rava himself recognized that Rav Safra was not right. Meaning, in the first version, Rava thought that Rav Safra was right and the three Chachamim were wrong. But now in the second version, Rava himself realized, it was a toss. I'm Rav Ashi, my Tausa, and now in the second version, Rav Ashi is just explaining what the mistake was. My Kamarle, Abba Bar Minyum Veloat. So he says, and it's the same line, meaning that Rav Ashi explains that the original shliach was actually asked to deliver the get, only because he didn't recognize the wife, then he advised to give it to Abba Bar Minyum who would give it, but originally he was actually a shliach to deliver the get. Okay. That's another story regarding a shliach appointing another shliach. The Gemara goes over another story. How a man was delivering a get to his wife. And the husband said, I want there to be a 30-day delay. In terms of motivation, in terms of why, unclear. Why he made such a stipulation, but in general, it could be a suggestion. We learned earlier that the husband loses rights to Paris by the Shas Ksiva. So okay, anyway, it's with a lot of these Tanaim, it's always it's not always self evident what the motivation is. But for whatever motivation, he said, let us put a delay on the delivery of the get. Don't deliver the get within 30 days. So. Story goes on. Isnes begot talsin yomen. Now, in the course of those 30 days, so this shliach was an anus. Whatever. Something happened. And he knew that he wasn't going to be able to deliver the get. Also, come into Rava. So, I'm a Rava. Chala. Time am I Mishim Danusu. I'm Mishim Danus. So, he says, well, let's take a look back at our Mishnah. When is a shliach allowed to give over his shlichus to somebody else and appoint another shliach? It's because in our Mishnah scenario, the first shliach was sick. And what does that mean? It means because you're an honest and you know, circumstances beyond my control do not allow me to complete my mission. So therefore, he's allowed to subcontract, subcommission another shliach to do so. So Rava says, I think this is basically the same thing, where here you had the original shliach who was unable to complete his mission, so therefore he could subcommission another shliach. This seems to me to be a no-brainer, says Rava.
Shouldn't it be stipulated?
I mean, it'd be better, I guess. But in other words, the understanding is that the objective is to deliver the get. So either you're going to deliver it or somebody else would. Does it need to be stipulated? I don't think so. So the Gemara says, "Hai nami anasu." So Rava says, "So this is the same thing. It's an anus." So Amalei Masor Milech Hamididan Ulabasa Talsin Yami Mashvin Shliach VeYavli Niyala. So Rava says, "Okay, so here's what you'll do." He says to this guy, "You'll basically pass the instructions along to us, meaning the Beis Din, and we then, after 30 days, will commission another shliach to deliver the get." So Amalei Rabban LeRava Vashliach Shaloni Telegerish and Hu. So now. Once again, the question is, let's think about it, let's consider. He is a shlich to deliver the get, but within the first 30 days, he can't, because the stipulation was not to deliver the get within the first 30 days. And that's a Tanai, and Tanayim are effective. So, let's imagine, if the shlich were to deliver the get within the first 30 days, would that be a good get? And of course, the answer is no. It wouldn't be, because it's a violation of the Tanai. So within those first 30 days, he's not a shliach to deliver the get. And as a result of that, he can't He can't sub-commission anybody else to deliver the get within those first 30 days. That's the challenge against Rava. So now they say to Rava, I'm sorry, Rava's response is, come on. Right now, if it's very short-sighted, says Rava. Right now he can't deliver the get. But there's a latency. In other words, after 30 days he can deliver the get. So at this point in time, he can't deliver the get, but that's only because the condition was he's got to wait 30 days. But since if he waits 30 days, he were to be able to deliver the get, right now we're going to view it as if he's able to deliver the get. Okay, the latency is enough to consider him to be a shliach, or even within the first 30 days, he wants a sub-commission, so he can absolutely do so. Okay, so Rava basically took the criticism of whoever provided that criticism, and he said basically, no, you're not right. Now Valech Hashem Apayas. So now they say to Rava, okay, but let's have another concern, and that's the following. Maybe look, there's a lag between the writing of the get and the delivery of the get. We're going to learn later in the Masechta. We keep referencing this Gemara, which we haven't seen yet, but that's only simply because it comes up later in the Masechta, that if a husband and wife, after the writing of a get, spend time together, they seclude themselves together, so the get now is a disqualified get. It's what's called the get yashan. So yeah, it's literally an old get, but in other words, it's a get that you can't use. So now, with this lag between the writing of the get and the delivery of the get, so aren't we worried about pious? Milo tanan me'achshiv him lo batim mikan vadyud beis chodesh u'meis pesoch yud beis chodesh arei ze get. We're going to learn a Mishnah later on the Masechta, which is that the husband stipulates to his wife, here's the get. If I don't come back within 12 months, the get's going to be a valid get. That's the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says it is a valget. Now on that Mishnah, the conversation was, shouldn't we be worried that sometime within those 12 months, there was some sort of get together between the husband and wife. So only in the circumstance where that we know for sure that he didn't come within those 12 months. Then, and only then, is the get going to be a valid get. But if we have no such declaration, so then the get's not going to be a valid get. So basically now we turn to Rava and we say to Rava, look, in terms of his ability to sub-commission another shliach, so okay, we'll hear you on that point. You're right. You can. But what about the fact that there's such a lag between the writing of the get and the delivery of the get? Why shouldn't we be worried about pious? Ichsif, and now Rava was embarrassed, meaning he's right. All right, I should have taken that into consideration. So then, after Rava was embarrassed, later we learned that this was a gerushin not from Nisuin, but after Erusin. And the difference is that the husband and wife were never together as husband and wife. Meaning they were married after Erusin, you're married, but they were never together as husband as wife. If this were to occur after Nisuin, where they were already intimate with one another, so then it's a legitimate concern. They're intimate. They were intimate with one another, and so therefore pious would not be so difficult for an appeasement to exist between the two of them, and for them to have relations once again, even after the get was written. But after Erusin, where they were never intimate with one another, so then this is not a concern. It doesn't need to be a concern. So basically, even though Rava was embarrassed because he didn't take it into consideration, but he had a little siyata d'shmaya, and it happened to have been that the case was the gerushin was not from Nisuin, but it was only from Erusin, and so therefore there was no such concern necessary. Amar Avi, Amar ben Nisuin, Yomar Barusa. So Rava said, "Look, I understand that this is a concern by Nisuin. Shouldn't be a concern by Erusin." Okay. Amar Rava, Havada kami bailan. The following question, however, I am going to pose, and that is, Kimashu beis nishliach befanav o shelo befanav. Okay, do we need, when appointing the second shliach, the first shliach to be there? Right, Alex, this is essentially your question. So the Gemara's answer, hadar pashta bein befanav bein shelo befanav shach mitam bein befanav bein shelo befanav. And the Gemara's answer was, the original shliach doesn't need to be there. As long as Beis Din was commissioned to pass the get along. So now Beis Din can go ahead and appoint a second shliach, even not in the presence of the first shliach. I mean, the truth of the matter is, we already saw stories earlier which seem to clearly indicate this, but the Gemara says a beferish that you don't need the first shliach there when the Beis Din appoints its second shliach. Right, correct. Oh, okay. Rav, okay, fine. That's the Gemara's conclusion. How would the Amar
il? Huh? Doesn't the first shliach have to say it was written in front of him?
Yeah, he did. Meaning, you're right, and he did. He said in front of Beis Din. And now Beis Din is given the charge of appointing another shliach. But Beis Din has the right to do so because the first shliach did say, Befanei Nechtam. Can Beis Din themselves deliver it? Presumably, yes. I understand that, but in other words, in a scenario where there's still more to travel. So more to go. So they're going to appoint another shliach, and the point is that they can. Amar Hahuda Amar Yilois in Atalsin Yom Lehavegita. Okay, this should bring familiar this gemara that we're about to do. It's the first daf in Ksuvos. A man says that if I don't come within 30 days, the get that I've written and already handed to you will be effective. So basically, you wrote a get, he handed it to her, and with only one stipulation, and that is the get will become effective if I don't come within 30 days. Fine. Also, Paske Mavra. So he gets to the other side of the river. He's basically there, but there meaning he's only one ferry boat away. But then, but then Paske Mavra. But no ferry that day. Okay. That day the ferry stopped. So Amalu Chazadasai, Chazadasai. So he's on the other side of the river, and he's screaming. And he's saying, I'm here, I'm here. Now there's here, and then there's here. Okay, and they're not the same. So, so yes, he's here, but he's not here. Meaning, and his stipulation was very clearly that I'm going to be back. Now, he wanted to come back, but the problem is that he wasn't physically back. So, Chazadasai, Amr Shmuel, Lo Shmei Masya. So Shmuel ruled, and again, this is the first daf in Ksuvos, and Shmuel said, nope, no good. That's called not coming. Now, as Rashi points out, on the top of the Amud, third line down, Lomati Adhacha. So the Ein Tainas Ona B'Tanai Gittin. Now, over here, he has a legitimate Taina. And that is, I really had every interest in coming back. I, in fact, planned on coming back. And all I needed was that ferry to work, and the ferry didn't work. So there were circumstances beyond my control. So basically, his taina would be a taina of anus. So, and that, in general, in halacha, is very legitimate. It's very valid. So so Rashi over here, it's really the first daf in Ksuvos, Rashi over here says, and basically, we ignore it. We ignore the taina of anus. So, the ain't taina is anus, but tanai gittin, lememer, and isi. So Rashi says, as is the first sugya in the Gemara in Ksuvos, is that we don't accept a taina of anus when it comes to tanai, when it comes to stipulations. The Gemara in Ksuvos, it would take a lot of time right now to go through it. The Gemara in Ksuvos gives reasons and explanations as to why that's true and why that's the case, but it is the case. Meaning, the truth of the matter is, again, you go open up the first page of Ksuvos, you'll see it's a machlokus over there, as to whether or not there is a taina by gittin, or there is tainas anus by gittin, or there is no taina of anus by gittin. So Rashi number one says that even if there was a legitimate anus, which presumably it is, the ferry didn't work today. So nevertheless, we just simply ignore it because we don't accept even a taina of anus when it comes to a condition made by get. Inami, but then Rashi says, but also we'll make another point. And Yeshon is begitten. Maybe we can argue that in general a taina of anus is a legitimate taina. But how kim na bishmaita kamaisa diksuvas dahai unsa dishchirchu viti baileila isnuye. Here, however, the ferry not working is not a good excuse, right? That falls under the category. I'm going to be a little facetious. Falls under the category of my dog ate my homework, right? It's not the same, but it's not a good excuse, right? The ferry doesn't go all the time. The ferry is not reliable. You should have taken that under consideration. You should have stipulated when you made your condition. Meaning you're the one who created this problem. You're the one who said, right. You're the one who said, if I come back within 30 days, then the get is going to be off. Otherwise, the get's going to be good. And you knew that part of traveling back was taking the ferry. And you knew that the ferry was not reliable. So under those circumstances, it's not really a taina of anus. Taina of anus is that was really circumstances that were beyond your control. It's something that you really you didn't anticipate, and there was no reason. It wasn't reasonable for you to anticipate. This, however, on the other hand, was reasonable for you to anticipate. You should have. So Rashi's two explanations of why Shmuel basically said, ignore him. Next. Hahu Gita. I'm sorry. Hahu de Amar Ilo Asina Atasin Yom Lehav Gita. No, I'm sorry. I read that one already. Sorry. Okay, next. Hahu de Amar Lehu Ilo Paisina La Atasin Yom Lehav Gita. So the last of these stories where a man says, if I don't appease my wife for the next 30 days, so the get's going to be a good get. So in other words, again, let's set up the case. The marriage was not going well. He wrote her a get. He handed her a get. But with one stipulation, and that is a last-ditch effort. I'm going to try my best to appease her. And if I try my very best to appease her, and within the next 30 days we reach the point of appeasement, so then the get is off. Otherwise, the get's going to be on. So, okay, it was it's beyond a last-ditch effort. Meaning the get was written, the get was handed over to her. It's just that the only thing that will call the get is his ability to appease her. Just between us friends over here, so it's an interesting tonight. It's a difficult tonight. I mean, we're talking about, you know, exactly. What exactly is going to be the quantification of appeasement? Right, not coming back. That's easy to quantify. Either you're here or you're not here. But over here, when we're reaching a point of appeasement, what exactly is going to be that marker that indicates that yes, she's appeased? Okay, so just between us, it is difficult to assess, you know, in a quantifiable manner, but such a stipulation was made. Aiza paisa v'lo ifaisa. So and then, within the next 30 days, he sent her flowers. Okay, I mean, you know, I'm gonna give away some of my best moves, and they're not that. they're not that, you know. I know. I'm. I know. The husband thinks, you know. The husband thinking these are the outstanding moves on my part. So Azal Paisa V'lo Yifaisa. So he tries his hardest to appease her, but she doesn't. She doesn't take to it. So Amar Rav Yosef Miyayvla Tarkava De Dinare V'lo Yifaisa. So Rav Yosef says, well, he says, quite frankly, he didn't try hard enough. In other words, he didn't really go all out. He didn't give her tarkava, an amount of money. So, and if he did, she would have been appeased. Rashi, v'kevan shelo asa kein nimsa shelo paisa v'alfa pishein lo armin an honest ein adam yatil yachol leton onis b'tanai shel get v'havigita. So once again, what's his counter response? I don't have that kind of money. So once again, now we're basically having the same kind of discussion. In other words, your argument is, yeah, but I didn't know. No, when you make it tonight, when it comes to getting, either it's one of two options. You satisfy your tonight, you don't satisfy your tonight. And excuses are basically, we throw out excuses. Both illegitimate excuses and even legitimate excuses. Meaning we throw them all out. Either you do it or you don't do it. That is, and this story fits in perfectly with the previous story. Meaning, again, Rashi gave two explanations of the previous story, so it's not that perfect, but it's basically the same idea. In the previous story, he says, I really want to come back. I couldn't because of the ferry. And basically Shmuel said, you're not here. You stipulated, you're not here. The get is effective. Same basic story over here. He tried to appease her, but when all said and done, he didn't. What do you mean he didn't? Meaning, says Rav Yosef, you didn't try as hard as you could. You could have done more. Yeah, but no, and when it comes to it tonight, there's no buts.
His sense of appeasement was different than hers.
Right. Yeah, I understood.
The other guy
couldn't get there. I understood.
I also. Listen, I'm with you. I struggle understanding exactly how we're going to quantify, you know, an attempt to appease. Right. But Rav Yosef said you could have done more. You didn't do more.
No, he didn't say.
Rav Yosef was the one who said you could have given more. It wasn't him who he didn't put a cap in terms of, you know, this is how much I'm gonna do.
No, but she wasn't that piece. So what would you want to say married anyway? So that's
okay. All right. That's a, you know.
That's a side point.
Thank you.
Is it part of the get or is it verbal?
No. Did he write it into the get? In general, I don't think. I'm going off on a limb here. I don't think the Tanaim need to be written into the get. I think they could be verbally, orally transmitted at the delivery of the get. Again, I'm assuming. I don't know this for sure, so I'm being a little reluctant right now. I'm assuming that as long as the Edom were there, heard him stipulate, so then the get it, then the Tanai is in fact a valid Tanai. I think so. Anyway, let's just finish up. Iged the Amri Amr Rav Yosef Midi Tarkava the Dinari Bar Lemesav La Hai Paisa Valoi Faisa. A slightly different version, but basically the same point. In the second version, Rav Yosef was actually defending the man. And Rav Yosef was saying, he doesn't have that kind of money. So, Vahare Elo, he doesn't have that kind of money, says Rashi. So, in other words, he gave her everything he could. He didn't have any more to give her. And this is, in fact, a legitimate argument on his part where he's basically saying, I tried, it just didn't have any more than I could. So the Gemara says, "Ha paisa v'lo yifaisa, ha keman damar yeshonus begin, ha keman damar yeshonus begin." And the two versions of Rav Yosef are going to be contingent on which side of the argument you stand on in that first sugya of ksuvos. If you hold yeshonus begin, that means basically I don't want to hear excuses. Meaning, when you make it tanai, it's either results or no results, and that's it. Excuses, both legitimate and illegitimate excuses, basically we ignore. That's if you subscribe to Ein Onus Begitin. However, if you subscribe to Yesh Onus Begitin, so then you basically will listen to, not only listen to, but you'll accept legitimate excuses. So the legitimate excuse of, I didn't have that kind of money, so according to the second version of Rav Yosef, we are going to hear that, we're going to subscribe to that, and that would be a taina of Onis. As it relates to the husband, because he did try his best. Okay, we start the next Mishnah. We are in Lamed Amud Aleph, and this next Mishnah that we begin, we're going to, for just a short amount of time, really for the rest of today, we're going to leave, and tomorrow, and we're going to leave the world of Gittin. The reason why it comes up here at the end of the third parak of Gittin, this discussion, we don't know what it is yet, but I'll introduce it in just a moment, is because the last thing we learned about is about the Cheskes Chaim. We have a general presumption that people are alive and people continue to live. And a guy delivers a get, and even if he's old, and even if he's infirmed, nevertheless, we assume that the person's alive, and the person delivering the get can, in fact, now deliver the get. That is what we learned in the previous Mishnah. This Mishnah is basically going to go on that theme, although we're going to go way off topic. It's a fascinating discussion coming up right now. And that is the following. The Chachamim loved incentivizing lending. Okay, we see this idea come up again and again throughout Shas, that the Chachamim understand that a healthy economy is one where their lending is done, and so therefore what they will do is they will basically put together a stimulus package to encourage lending so that people have money. It's a simple idea, and it's one which, you know, it's modern economic thinking. It's the Chachamim of the Chachamim of the Gemara. So, and in this Mishnah, basically, we're going to learn together as follows. We all know that I have the farm, and I have produce on my farm, so I got to give Truma to the Kohen, I got to give Maaser Rishon to the Levi, and then depending on the year, the Shemitah year, so in the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah year, I got to give my next Maaser, the next 10% has got to go to the Aniyim. So basically, there's money coming from me. There's produce coming from me too. Kohanim, Levim, and Aniyim. Now, happens to be that's all well and good for them when the produce grows. But right now they need money. What we're going to learn together in this Mishnah is that they can borrow against the produce that I will deliver to them. And that's perfectly legitimate. So the Kohen can come over to me and say, look, we're friends, we're buddies. You always give me the truma. I really appreciate it. Do me a favor. I need money now. Lend me the money now. And if and when the truma comes, so that'll serve as payment for the loan. And that's perfectly fine, legitimate. And the Levi could do that regarding his Maaser Rishon, and the Ani could do that regarding his Maaser Ani. And so they could borrow against the Truma, Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Ani. And that's what we're going to be learning together in the Mishnah. And the only reason why it comes up now, in Gittin, it doesn't belong in Gittin, but the reason why it comes up now is because we're going to assume a Cheskes Chaim.
Are they establishing a Shibud on the future growth of a product?
No, you'll see. All this will be clarified. Right, the numerous questions will be asked, but the Gemara is going to spend 2 days discussing and clarifying a lot of these issues. Let's see the Mishnah. Hamal v'mal says a kohen v'salevi v'sani. If you lend to a kohen levi and anani, lios mafresh alei michal kam, and what's going to serve as payment? The produce that will grow mafresh alei becheska shem kayamim ve'eino choshe shema. And the Mishnah's point over here is go ahead. And with the assumption that they're going to live. And we're not worried, Shema Mesa Kohen or Levi, that either the Kohen or the Levi are going to die. Or Oheshi or Ani. Or maybe the Ani was going to win the lottery. I know. Everyone's excited. Mesu. Now, what if they do die? Meaning, as a means of going forward, we don't have to worry about it. Okay? And we can work with that presumption. But of course, life happens and death happens. What if they die? So the Mishnah goes on to say, Sarach Lito Rishus Mina Yorshim. So then you have to ask permission from the Yorshim. Why? Rashi. Let's take a look at the second Rashi on the Mishnah. Parenthetically, I'm not going to read the first Rashi inside, but parenthetically, it's an important point to realize. Meaning, if you know your Trumas and Maaser as well, so you realize that for the Kohen who borrowed against the Truma, so for the owner, keeping the Truma is not really particularly. It's not that exciting, because the Truma he can't eat it. So he sells it. He sells it on the cheap, and everyone understands that. Meaning there is a market value to Truma. It's not a high market value because
he lost out on the loan to the
car. Well, no, we're going to discuss this as well, because what we're going to have to end up doing is we're going to have to assess value to the produce. So okay, so just again, just points that are obvious, but that's true. We're going to assess value to the truma, and he's going to borrow against that assessed value. We're going and the same thing is true regarding the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Ani as well. Now with the Maaser Rishon again, I'm just summarizing that first Rashi in the Mishnah regarding the Maaser Rishon as well. It's for the owner of the field for him to take home the Maaser Rishon. Keep in mind that from the Maaser Rishon, the Kohen is obligated to give Maaser Min HaMaaser, 10% of that truma that he received. Let me say it correctly. 10% of the Maaser Rishon that the Levi receives has to go over to the Kohen. And that has Kedusha. So Rashi just simply points out, these are all things that need to be taken into consideration when the owner of the field does in fact recoup the truma or the Maaser Rishon as payment for the produce. Second Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi writes, what if the Kohen dies, the Levi dies, the Ani dies? So you have to ask permission from the children. What? Why? What? So Rashi explains, because this is not a loan that goes down to the next generation. So Yitol Mehem Rishus Im Rotzim Shiz Kabel Chovo Bishvilam Yaakvim. I'm sorry, Bishvilam Yaakvim Im Maaser Satzmo. So therefore, he has to now go to them and say, "Look, your dad owed me this much money. I was planning on recouping that payment based on the produce that will grow. Okay. Is it okay with you if I keep it?" In other words, do you want to respect the obligation that your father had to me.
There's no other claim between you and the Metalta on the Kohen?
No. The answer is going to be no. And again, all this will be clarified in the Gemara. Now, the last part of the Mishnah, and that is Im Hilvam Bifnei Beis Din. Now, what if this loan happened in front of Beis Din? So then, Einar Tzarich Litov Rishus Min Hayorshin. Then the lender, the property owner can collect, even if the Kohen died, even if the Levi died, even if the Ani died, and he doesn't have to accept permission. He doesn't have to ask permission from the next generation. Why? Look at the last Rashi on the Mishnah. Yesh koach lebeis la'ato chov zeh al kol ha'kohuna ve'halaviyah lefisha takana samhu shimtzu mas la'ava. In other words, it's the Chachamim's interest in incentivizing lending, and so therefore, if this loan occurs in front of Beis Din, what Beis Din can now basically do is turn this as a loan, not against one individual Kohen, but a loan against all of the Kohuna. And so basically now, even though this Kohen died, it is still the responsibility of Shevet Kohuna and Shevet Levi to go in to repay the loan. So therefore now, this lender now still has the right to collect from the produce that grows. Now, much to discuss in our Mishnah, let us go over the first points of the Mishnah. The Afagav, Lo Asu Liyadei. The Gemara is bothered by what is a really basic issue. Truma, there are two mitzvahs when it comes to Truma, two mitzvahs when it comes to Maaser Rishon, two mitzvahs when it comes to Maaser Ani. Mitzvah number one, Hafrasha. You have to separate. In other words, you have a field, you have produce, you bring the produce into your silo, and the first thing you need to do is you need to separate 2% to the Kohen, 10% to the Levi, the next 10% to either as Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani. Let's just focus today on Maaser Ani, because that's all we need to focus on. 10% of Maaser Ani in year 3 and 6. So number one, there's a mitzvah of Afrasha. Number two is there's a mitzvah of Nesina. After you separate it, you then give it over to the Kohen. The Truma to the Kohen, then give the Maaser Rishon over to the Levi, you then give the Maaser Ani over to the Ani. And the Gemara's first question is a very simple one. There was no Nesina. How can we just simply bypass the Nesina? You got to give it. Now, of course, you can give it and then it can be given back to you as payment of the loan, but you got to give it. What happened to the Nesina? Gemara to that gives three answers. Amar Rav and Makiri Kahuna. Ulavia. So answer number one, Rav's answer is that there was no need for a giving because it's the same coin that comes to you time and again. And as Rashi explained, it's more than just it's the same coin coming to you time and again, but all the other Kohanim know, oh, Sugarman, oh, he gives to that Kohen. Don't even bother. In other words, he's identified who the Kohen is that he gives his Truma to, and all the other Kohanim are basically like, give it up. Don't bother going to him. He gives to that Kohen and only to that Kohen. And so, as Rashi says, even though I didn't give it to that Kohen, but because everyone understands that that's the Kohen that I always give it to, it's ki'ilu. It's as if I gave it to him. That's answer number one.
Once he gets
three times. Sounds that way. Shmuel Amar b'mezakel ha'ma'ideh. Shmuel says, no. What happened was is that I did give it to him, but ha'ideh shlish. In other words, there was another person there. I handed it to him. I want you to accept this on behalf of that Kohen or that Levi. So basically, ziku ha'ideh acher. That's answer number two. Answer number three, Ula Amar ha'mani Rabbi Yosi da'amar asu et she'enu zocheh. And a third possibility is that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Yossi, where Rav Yossi says that under certain circumstances, Rashi goes through a slew of different Gemaras throughout Shas, where we find Rav Yossi stating this position, under certain circumstances, the Chachamim basically conferred transfer, even though there was no actual transfer that was done. Yesh koach b'yad chachamim, that they basically view something as a transfer even though nothing happened. That's the... But in order to say that, you have to say that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi, which the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment. On this issue, he's a das yachid. He's a singular opinion. So the Gemara says, kulukur Rav lo amrei b'makir lo ketani. Now, the other Amoraim didn't like Rav's answer because the Mishnah didn't mention makir kahuna. And Kishmo lo kamim b'mezaka lo katani. And the other Amorim didn't like Shmuel's answer because, once again, the mission didn't mention that. And Kula nami lo amri ki chida lo makminan. And the Gemara doesn't like Ula. The other Amorim didn't like Ula's answer because to set up our mission like Adas Yachin doesn't sit well. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, we'll start this today. We'll finish this tomorrow, Mirz Hashem. And that is a Tosefta that goes over the halacha that we just learned together about lending to the Kohen based on the produce that will come in. And so now the Brisa speaks about this in much greater detail. And what we learned in the Mishnah, we're going to be learning now in this Brisa, but in much richer detail. The Brisa begins. Haman v'mos is a kohen v'salei v'yasan l'yos ma'afrish aleim b'chalkam, ma'afrish aleim b'cheska shein kayamim. So, and point number one in the Brisa is exactly what we learned in the Mishnah. You can do this. You can construct such a transaction where the Kohen Levi are going to be borrowing money and the repayment is going to be coming out of the produce that will come and the produce that's owed to them, Truma for the Kohen, Maaser Rishon for the Levi, Maaser Ani for the Ani. Now, Uposik Imam Kishar Hazol. Now, in terms of assessing a price. So, you assess the price, Kishar Hazol, based on the cheap market. In other words, we understand that there's always fluctuation of price within the market, and you do so based on the Shar Hazol, based on the cheap market price of Einbo Mishum Ribis, and there is no consideration of Ribis. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain. I'll say briefly now. We'll discuss it in much more detail tomorrow. And that is that generally speaking, the Chachamim were always worried where if you lend money and the satisfaction of that loan is going to be payment from produce, well, there's always going to be a fluctuation of price. And what's going to end up happening is that if you lend, and then what ends up happening is that the market, the prices go down, you're going to walk away with a greater amount of produce than you would have at the time of the origination of the loan. And basically, what does that look like? It looks a little bit like you got a bumper on more than the money you actually lent. So this is rabbinic interest. This is rabbinically prohibited interest. Under these circumstances, however, not a concern. We'll discuss why tomorrow. The Shvi'as Mishamto, furthermore, the Shemitah is not going to cancel such a loan. We'll explain why as well. The Imbalachzer and the Chozer. Can you renege on such a deal? So the Brisa says you cannot. Nizyashu Habalim. Now, let's say that after lending the money, the landowner looks at his farm and realizes, oh no, this is not going to be a good year. The crops are not growing in. And the weather is not conducive to a good crop, and he's looking around, and this is not good. And basically, he's now writing off the loan. Okay, so it's a loss. He wrote it off as a loss. And then what ends up happening is that lo and behold, a little nice, and the bumper came in because he was misyayish on that loan. So that yeush is a valid yeush, and therefore he can't recoup that. He can't recover that loan. Okay, it's an interesting topic in of itself. Yeush on a loan, right? Can you think of another time that we've discussed yeush as it relates to a loan? This Gemara discusses it. Gemara says it's a valid yeush, and in mafrishim aleim lefish in mafrishim al ha'avad. And the last point on the brisa is the. you can't be mafresh on this because it's lost. Meaning, he basically wrote it off. Okay, let's just do one halacha today, and then tomorrow we'll pick it up. Amar posik imam kashar hazol pshita kamashmalan afapishlo pasak kamisha pasak dami. Even though it wasn't recorded that we're going to go after the lower price, but nevertheless it's keilu it was done. The einbo mishum ribis my time a kevin the chileis lo yaivle ki isle nami einbo mishum ribis. This is a theme that we're going to be hitting time and again tomorrow. We'll say it once today, and we'll say it many times tomorrow as well. This is an interesting type of loan. This kind of loan is one in which the Kohen himself has no personal liability to the loan. The understanding between the lender and the borrower is that the borrower, in this case the Kohen, says to the lender, look, I appreciate it. I know you're lending them money. The Truma is going to serve as repayment. it's only the truma that's going to serve as repayment. Meaning, do not there's no recourse. Do not come after me for the loan. You will come only after the produce as your sole recourse for the collection of the loan. Ribbis only becomes an issue when you have personal recourse against the borrower. Here you don't. And because you don't, the Chachamim do not deem this to be a scenario of ribbis, since there's no personal responsibility on the part of the borrower himself. And this idea is going to express itself again and again. It's going to explain many of the halachas that we just learned together in the Braisa. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Shemitah, with the issue of Shemitah.